All right, so first thing I want to do is just kind of go around the room real quick and tell me your first name and where you're from. And we'll start way over there. And I know a lot of you are from Westside. That's fine. Just say Westside. But a lot of you are not. So just tell me where you're from.
I'm Leah Dahlstrom, and I go to Flower Mountain.
Thank you, Leah.
Alan Miller. I'm from Oklahoma City.
Oh, wow. Well, maybe there's a prize for the furthest away. That's good. Great. Thank you, Alan.
Charles Davis. I'm from Granbury.
Okay, thank you.
David Cassidy. I'm from
Fort Worth.
Josh Brennick. Here from Westside, Dallas.
Sarah Burke. Woodmont Church of Christ. Allison Burke. Woodmont Church of Christ.
I'm
Packer, College Station.
Okay.
Amber Park from Keller.
Okay, Keller.
Ken Howard, Westside.
Ethan Howard, Westside.
Nathan Coffey, Westside.
Harley, Westside.
Reese. Earth. No. Again.
Kind of the same thing, right?
Okay, it's Longview.
Longview.
Again,
from
Dallas.
Dallas. Hey, Toledo.
Toledo.
Wow, okay.
Campbell, Melrose.
Arthur Anderson at Melrose Drive.
Okay.
Grant Anderson, Melrose Drive.
Thank you.
Allie Brown, Westside. Leslie Painter, Westside.
And Jessica,
Arkansas. Nice. That's further, I think. Arkansas, thanks.
Tom, farther in Arkansas. I'm from Jonesboro.
Joel Miller, Arkansas.
Okay, we have somebody who wants to come in. Is there one seat or not? Way over there. Okay, they're going to scoot over and you can get in. Here. Right there? It's all right. They moved over for you. Go sit down. Go. That's good. It's all right. All right, where did we leave off? I know we were in Arkansas. Where are we now?
Red Smith, Jacksonville.
Florida or Texas? Sorry, Melanie. Thanks.
Cole Sloan, Fort Worth.
Okay.
Mina from Town Village. It's like it's plus me.
Okay. Thanks. That's good.
Hudson Smith, left side.
Andrew Crane.
Morgan Bingham, Kentucky.
Julia Cuellar, west side.
Lisa Cuellar, west side.
Mary Kate, west side.
Andrew Perenick, west side.
Lindsay Flatonio.
Where's that?
It's down south in Texas, about 5 hours away.
Okay, thanks. All right. Well, thank you all for coming and sharing that. All right, so today we're going to talk about how do we become fearless? That's, you know, the whole theme here, and we heard a great topic this morning, yesterday, Friday night, and we're going to just see if we can't generate some ideas in this class to help us at least on a day-to-day basis. So what are some of the fears that you have? Someone just raise a hand and tell me what you're anxious about, afraid of. Yes.
Spiders.
All right, great. Oh, the old. Do any of the pens work? Oh, good, I got one. Kinda. Spiders?
Heights.
Well, that's good, isn't it? We should test these before we start a... Alright, here you go. What was the one after heights? Was that the last one? Rejection, okay. Oh, look at this. Okay, another one?
Flying.
All right. Is that without or with an airplane? Just kidding. Leslie?
Snakes.
That was a joke, Carly. It's all right. College. Dark, murky. Did you watch Shark Week? I learned that big sharks don't... You're high risk in murky water with sharks.
So.
Losing a job. Okay. Anybody? Anything else that just comes right out?
Hail.
Hail? Okay.
H-E-L-L.
Hell.
Got
it's Arkansas, yeah. Anything else? We got room for one more. Fear of being yourself, being accepted as yourself.
Just happily living as yourself.
Okay. All right. So I asked the same question of some junior high students, just to give us a little contrast to see if there'd be any difference in what 20-somethings, college age and a little bit after, said versus what junior high said. Andrew, can you? It's not working. We have this working. Well, this is going to be a real bummer if it doesn't work. I have lots of stuff on there.
Can you
microwave
it?
Is the age?
Again,
it's not me. It says off on the. Maybe unplug it and plug it back in. Did you try that? What? You already tried that? How about turning it off, rebooting the whole system? Try that and see. All right. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Just by the way, do you think fear and being afraid is a big topic in the Bible? If you had to just guess, how many times do you think it's in the Bible? More specific. 200? 186. That's very precise. Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Because I think I know where you got that number. So I was doing research on this, and there are a lot of websites that say it's in there 365, and this one person said, isn't that amazing? There's one verse for every day of the year. And as I dug down deeper into it, I saw several people who said they couldn't find 365. In fact, they don't know where that number came from. So the number that I had, because I actually found a listing of all the verses, they don't all say do not be afraid, but they say fear not or don't be anxious, some variety of that, was 145, it was a lot. I mean, that's still a lot of times in the whole Bible. And think about some of the people that were afraid. Name some of the people that were told don't be afraid, who therefore we had to assume were afraid. The apostles, absolutely. If you look at, and you don't have to turn to this right now, but when Jesus was walking on water, he told them, they were on the boat, the disciples, do not be afraid. Anybody else you can think of? Moses, leader of the Old Testament, told not to be afraid. Paul was told not to be afraid, kind of the main author in the New Testament. Mary, when they went to see the tomb, the two Marys. I wasn't stuttering. It was actually Mary and Mary. Gabriel told them, do not be afraid. Okay. All right. So he didn't have the fear when he should have. So there's just a lot of people in the Bible that do that. So fear is kind of, I'd say it has, we'd have to assume it's natural. All right, so we're gonna do some things, and the best way to do them is just kind of divide the class in half. So this would be group A and group B. Cassidy, you're an A. All right. So we're gonna do like a little family feud thing here. All right. And this is, I'm going to come back to the junior high group in just a minute, but these are a general list of fears. Top 10, these are the top 10 lists. We surveyed 100, I didn't survey, someone did a survey and came up with the top 10 general fears of the population in the United States. All right? So, raise your hand and then we'll see if it's on the list or not and we'll keep score. Okay. What's one thing on the list? Harley, you had your first hand first up.
War.
Buzz, not on the list. Public speaking, the number one answer. Number one fear in the United States. That was group B. All right, another one. Up right here. Death is not on the list. It's the exact same thing he was talking about. Yes, sir. Height is number two. All right. Being alone, not on the top 10. These are good answers. They just didn't make this list in the top 10. Flying is number 5. Whoever said flying up here, that was on the list. Yes, sir. Drowning is not on the list. We'll go back and forth. No. Snakes is number 4. Over here, huh, Mason. Tight spaces, yes, number 7. Claustrophobia. No, not on the list. Not on the list. Bugs and insects and spiders is number 6. You gonna? They get a little harder. Darkness is not on the list. No. It should be though, right? No. One more, Mary Kate. No. It's not working, Andrew? Yeah. Yeah. Incoming. All right. So, all right, we're gonna jump ahead. So, just in the B's one, they got 4 to 2 for the A's, and they got the highest one. So, Team B won the first round. All right, here are the top ten fears in general list. Public speaking, number 1. Heights, 2. Going to the dentist, number 3. How many? All right. Snakes, 4. Flying, 5. Spiders and insects, 6. Enclosed spaces, 7. Mice, number 8. Dogs, number 9. People get bit, you know, by dogs. And thunder and lightning, number 10. All right, now we're going to do it one more time, but this time with millennials. And I can tell you this list is significantly different than the last list. All right, just raise your hand when you got one, Team A.
Not having your cell phone.
That's not on the list, but it's a great one. All right, B, Team B, yes. You. No. No. Think larger. We're over here. Cops? No. I'll give you that one. All right, safety and well-being is on it. So we'll put that one on it. Nope, over here. Yes. Yes, that's number 10. Lack of employment or your finances is number 10.
Missing out.
I don't think that I see that exactly. So, over here, got an answer? Team B? No hands over there, Josh? Your future? Not really. Up here, yes. Being alone? No. Student loans? No. Finances was on there already, so. No. We're going to do 2 more, and then we're going to quit and go on. Leslie? Global warming, well, climate change, the destruction of nature, number 1. I was surprised, too. I'm not even sure that it's doing that, and why you would be that your famous firm. I don't know who they asked. I don't know. Harley? No. All right. That's good. Team B got 2. Team A got 1. So we'll have to give it to B. All right. Here they are. These are kind of weird. That's why I said they're really different than the last list. The last list was kind of like your normal fears. These are like, I don't know, when you sit around and meditate, what can I be afraid of? Number 1, climate change. Number 2, large-scale conflicts or wars. Number 3, inequality. Number 4, poverty. Number 5, religious conflicts. Number 6, government corruption. Number seven, we might have had an answer like this, but lack of water and food. And I think that means, in a broad sense, of we're polluting the water and our, you know, we don't have enough GMO food and that kind of stuff. Lack of education is 8, safety and well-being is 9, and lack of employment or finances is 10. And I'm just going to tell you the junior high list real quick. We're not going to do anything with that, but just to give you an idea of what the junior high group did. This was their I had them do both spiritual and non-spiritual things. The non-spiritual things were very similar to this. They had bugs that sting, angry parents, ducks. You know, they got attacked by a duck when they were little, and it was, you know. I mean, there are people I know who are afraid of birds, for example, right? You get attacked by birds. All right, falling, drowning, monsters in the closet or under the bed, and moths. I don't know why you're afraid of moths, but I see if you own a lot of cashmere sweaters why you'd be afraid of moths, but otherwise. Spiritual fears. Not doing enough to get to heaven. Disappointing my family. Being unprepared for Bible class. TV shows that are trapped by the devil. Not reading my Bible enough, not knowing enough, and the last one was Mr. Jim, who's one of our elders. You have to go here to understand that one, I think. All right, so those are all kind of interesting, and what, you know, maybe you find yourself in there somewhere. I don't know if you do or not, but if you do, the question is, you know, what can we do to overcome those, at least deal with them effectively. So we're going to turn to Psalm, the 27th chapter. And we're going to try and see if David can help us. Psalm 27 is an amazing psalm. If you don't know it, you should. This is one you should keep in your back pocket and be ready to read and understand and dwell on. All right, Psalm 27. I'm going to read it all the way through, and then we're going to do some thinking about it. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Oh, let me give you a little background on this. Sorry. People don't know exactly when this was written, but it probably was written when he's fleeing from Saul. You remember the story of David? You know, he's not king yet. Saul is jealous of him. You know, David has gotten... You know, Saul's killed his 1,000, David has killed his 10,000. That makes Saul extremely jealous, and so he's running from Saul and trying not to be killed. And at the same time, you know, at there are various points in time he has to act like he's crazy when he goes into the land of one of the enemies, and he's got those enemies that he's got to try to avoid. He's got you know, people like Doeg. You remember Doeg, who's kind of a spy for Saul and is trying to rat David out. So he's got problems all the way around. You know, he's out there kind of by himself. He'll find people to be with for a while, but then he's on his own again, finds some people. That's probably the setting, not a particular time, but that kind of setting for this chapter. So he's got a lot to be afraid of. He's got Saul trying to kill him. He's got enemies who don't trust him. He's got spies who will turn him in. He's got all sorts of problems, and he's got to make a living out there just kind of in the wild. So that's David's situation. Verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of troubles he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock, and now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And they will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me, and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me in your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Fantastic psalm. All right, so here's what we're going to do. You can see there's like two main sections of this psalm, if you noticed it. 1 through 6 is kind of like the first main section. 7 through 14 is the second main section. And then we're within that, there's like 1 to 3 is a main section. And 7 through 10, I think, is the second main section. So, is the third main section. So, we're going to divide up, and I want your group to focus on one of those sections. All right? So, Group A, Part 1, will go these three rows. And you're doing verses 1 through 3. Not as a team, but just kind of look at them and see what do you think the main points are in those verses. And we're going to put those on the board, all right? Cassidy, from here over these two rows, verses 4 through 6, all right? The first three rows over there in Group B are verses 7 through 10, and the last two rows are verses 11 through 14. So just spend a moment looking at that, thinking about what you think the main points are, and then we'll put those on the board. Andrew, why don't you turn that off? Please. Everybody got something? All right, let's start with verses 1 through 3. So it's the first three rows here. What are some of the things that you think, especially as it applies to fear, but are the main points of these three verses? Anybody? Yes. Take the long-term view. Yeah, I may get my feelings hurt today. They may come out on top, you know, in front of the friends around us or whatever. But if you take a longer view, they're the ones who are going to be in trouble and we're not. I think that's a great, great point. All right, anything else? 1 through 3. What's the verse that says, can you give me a little bit there? Yeah. So that view of God is just amazing, isn't it? Think of it. Just read those verses again. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the defense of my life. What does the ESV say on that one instead of the defense? The stronghold, the defense. He, you know, that's a Sure.
Everybody always wondered why David took five sons. Lot had four brothers, four sons, and four kinsmen. You think about it, one for Goliath, one for each and every one of the other giants. And that's faith and confidence in the Lord.
That's good. Yeah. That God is your defense. God is your stronghold. We've talked about, you know, all the lessons have talked about that, but I, you know, we're going to try and be somewhat practical by the time we get done this morning and not talk just in these kind of things. But, I mean, ultimately, that's what it comes down to, right? Is where is our confidence? And that's a hard thing to do. How many times in the Old Testament did kings, people who were supposed to be the leaders of Israel, both physically and spiritually, get ready to go do something major, like go to battle, and not go to God in prayer or talk to the prophet and ask, is this what I should be doing? How many times in our life do we get ready to do something that's really important, and we forget to go to God in prayer and ask Him? Now, He's not going to answer us the way He did in the Old Testament. But if you open your heart, there'll be things that you'll see that will help have Him guide you. We just have to remember those kinds of things. That's a real practical thing. All right. Anything else in 1 through 3? 4 through 5. 4 through 6, sorry. Okay, another take confidence. Okay, what else in there? It's a real interesting set of verses there, because when did the temple get built? Yeah, during Solomon, right? David's not even king yet. Saul is still king. And yet, notice the language that he uses. He actually says temple. In verse 4, at the end of it, he says, to meditate in his temple. There is no physical temple yet. So what are we talking about in that verse, you think? How can you go to the temple if there is no temple? Perhaps a spiritual temple, maybe heaven. But that whole thing about the tabernacle and meditating in this and being protected in that, I'm going to say God will protect, but there's also a longing for God. What did the tabernacle represent? And what did the temple eventually represent? The presence of God, right? That's where God was. You know, we saw the if you were here, was it yesterday? We saw the photo of the ark being carried with the cover over it. Why? I mean, what was the deal? What was the cherubim and the mercy seat? It was where God dwelt among His people. It was, and we see that He wants to be in the presence of God. All right, so we're going to come back to that. Anything else in 4 through 6? Go ahead.
The first 6 verses of this really remind me of Paul in his discussions in 2 Corinthians. So this is a verse from 2 Corinthians 12, and it says, and God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We hear Paul talk about that a lot, that his weakness is perfected by God's strength.
Yeah, it's one of those paradoxes, right, that we heard about the other night, yeah? It's a great one. Good point. Thank you. All right, let's go to, you want one on this one?
Yeah.
That's okay. Good.
I could say, like, in verse 6, it talks about him making sacrifices. baptized in the Shout for Joy, so that's not just taking confidence in God, it's taking joy.
Okay, excellent. All right, 7 through 10. What do we got? Let me ask a big question. What happens? I drew a line here. What happens from here to here? This is a petition, a prayer, right? I mean, the first half sounds a little bit like that, but the second half really sounds like it, right? It's like I'm kind of showing my faith in you, God, over here. In fact, I'm going to put faith is kind of a big header over that. And then, you know, I've got faith, and even though I've got faith, what's the problem? Yeah. I think one of the great lessons here is exactly that. Even though, you know, I think probably everybody in this room has a pretty good high level of faith. Does that mean you're not going to have fear? No. Here's David. David, ultimately, the key figure in the Old Testament. I mean, Moses maybe, you know, Elijah, you know. But I would say David, because that's who Jesus comes through, right? The prophecy of Abraham is through David to Jesus. He was a man after God's own heart, which sometimes baffles us all because of the sins that he committed. But, yeah, they were major sins and they got written up in the Bible, but all of us have some pretty major sins in our life. Maybe they're not as well known as David, but we all sin. So, he had faith, but he still had fear. And so he reaches out and he prays and petitions God for that. Harley? Yeah, and I don't think, you know, I was trying to think this. We were talking this morning about Shark Week. How many people watched any of Shark Week? Anybody besides me? Oh, not very many. Anybody? How many people know what Shark Week is? Oh, good. I told me it wasn't just me and three other people. And I have no desire to jump in an ocean with sharks. None. I'm not going to do that, as a matter of fact. I have no plans on doing that in my life. It would only be by accident someone pushing me. And I'd say that's it's either a healthy respect for sharks or I'm afraid of sharks, you know, eating me. And I was trying to think in my own head, is that the kind of fear that we should be concerned about? You know, it's kind of irrational fear. I mean, the fear's not irrational. I think it's, you know, being afraid of sharks is pretty rational. But is it the kind of situation that God wants us, you know, is really talking about in the Bible? And I was thinking, nah, you know, that's not what it is. It's like, you know, but I think it is. I've been thinking about it just for the last couple hours. And David was afraid for his life. And he prayed this prayer. If we're in a situation where our life is at risk, I would think God wants us to turn to him. Will he always save us? I don't think so. But our salvation is how? Is what? Ultimately. Take the long-term view. In fact, I'll jump to verses 11 through 14, if I may, for just a moment, and we'll come back. What's one of the main things in 11 through 14? Will you? Yeah. The last verse is repeated twice. Wait for the Lord. And I think that's part of David was having to learn patience about, I'm not going to be saved tomorrow or right now. You know, I'm not going to become king in the morning and wake up and all the people are going to be ready to crown me king. And even after he was king, what did he have to do? He had to fight off rebellion. Yeah, Absalom. And it's just always wait on the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Which one is it? Probably wait on the Lord, right? No, wait for the Lord. Got it. All right, back to 7 to 10. What else in there? Yes, sir.
The idea of obedience in verse 8, it says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said, your face and what I shall seek is obedience that brings forth security and confidence.
Okay, good. Yes.
Kind of like a realization of grace. Because he said, he refers to himself as a servant, and he talks about, he asked the Lord to be gracious to him, and he says that God's not one.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I didn't have that one. That's a great thought. Thank you. Realization of grace. He understands that he needs God's grace to get through all of this. Jump ahead because we're getting close on time. 11 through 14, what do we got? Anything? Come on. Okay. Anything else out of that? Go ahead. And?
I'm actually kind of playing off of that. I mean, he doesn't ask for an easy path. He asks for a level path.
Yeah. You know, what do you think that means? Give me a level path. Consistent?
Not too high, not too low.
Not too whole. What, I mean, back in those times, what would a level path do for you? Make traveling and going where you're going easier. I mean, what did David have to do with probably? I could see him, I don't know, I have this vision of him climbing over, you know, rocks and through these mountains that are kind of semi-arid and, you know, hiding behind olive trees and, you know, it's just rough going.
And sandals.
And he's, you know, give me a level path. Make my way easier. I mean, that's okay to pray for, right? I mean, what is that in our daily life? We've got obstacles. We've got friends who do things that we don't wish friends hadn't done. We pray for a level path. It's a great thing to, you know, take those barriers out of the way. All right, five things, the last couple minutes, that I think these things do for us. Number one, we'll just do them right under here, right? I'll try and do it. Number one, he desired God's presence. You go back to the early part of this, you know, the first half of this, he wanted to be in the presence of God. He sought to be in his altar. He called him his light and salvation. Where do we get that? From a practical sense, where do we get God's presence today? Where do you get it? Okay, you get it in God's Word. We're going to see a lot of the same things here. You get in God's Word, you get it through prayer, you get it at church, right? When two or three or more of us are gathered in my name, what? God's there. I mean, is going to church important to overcome fear? I would say 100%, do not downplay the fact that fellowship with God is part of fellowship with each other, and that happens when we worship Him on a day like this. All right, he sought His acceptance, the Lord's acceptance. If you look at verses 9 and 10, you'll see some of that, and we've got it out of here. We'll get back to this. He wanted to be heard. Well, I can't write very well. To be heard. He prayed. You have to pray, right? Hear my voice? You have to pray to be heard. Hang on. He looked for guidance. We get that through His Word. And then He needed protection, clearly. And I think, you know, that is in the light of what we're talking about here, and someone said it over here somewhere, I think, is, and we heard it this morning in Rusty's thing, is you have to live right. You can't expect God to help you if you're living a life that's not in accordance with His will. I mean, part of that is in here. David's got to do that. So we got to pray, we got to go to church, we got to study His Word, we've got to live right, we have to pray specifically things for, like, identify the obstacles to get those out of our way, and then we have to wait for the Lord. Don't expect it to happen fast, but look for the cues. I mean, again, if there's one thing you take away from today, is when things are there, when you've got things you're afraid of, getting a job, is this the right person to have a relationship with? Things that are major in your life, ask God and look for for cues. And then ask yourself a question. Is this a person, for example, you know, he talks about his parents being gone, this acceptance deal. Is this a person who has the same kind of values and beliefs that I have? Am I hanging around the right kind of friends? I mean, there's things to ask yourself that are embedded in here that get us to overcoming the fear that's there. All right. Thanks for your participation.